The Christian Civil War. The Christian Church is in a civil war. Whether we like it or not, the devil's most powerful army is inside the church. Many Christians are unknowingly in the enemy's army, listening to the enemy's voice and thinking it's the voice of God. They are used by the enemy to attack, slander, expose, and neutralize strategic Christian advances and movements. Every great advancement of the church in history was sabotaged from within. Satan's army is a very powerful army, able to do great damage to the Lord's church, because its attacks come from where they are least expected, from within. And because this army is among us, it may be difficult to spot. If you listen carefully to Christians that are in the devil's army, you will hear the voice of the accuser of the brethren. Though they may be very religious, refined, and educated, though they may be serving the Lord, and their speech may be peppered with Bible quotes, and they may recite many scriptural truths, the motivation of their hearts is more to accuse than to intercede. They deal in the faults of others like a gambler deals with cards, exposing every sin, every flaw, or doctrinal error that a person has ever made. In pretending to be sheepdogs, defending the flock, they are actually more like wolves that seek to divide us. These are our own Christian brothers and sisters in the enemy's camp. We should not fight against them, but against the powers that hold them captive. We must fight to set them free and bring them back into the Lord's army. The battle lines are drawn. We cannot ignore this army any longer. We have lost too much ground and too many souls to this army. We must now fight for complete victory. This Christian civil war has been prophesied by other people and shown to me in a dream. In my dream, I saw the Lord's church represented by a military base. Everybody on the base had different positions and jobs. There were ground soldiers, fighter pilots, guards, captains, generals, etc. Everything looked normal and in order. But then I noticed something strange. While everyone was going about their duty, all of a sudden, a group of our soldiers, who looked like stormtroopers, started marching in complete unity toward a particular area of the base. This group was comprised of people from all the different areas of the base. They marched in lockstep, as though they were being given orders by some unseen force. And they moved onto these wooden platforms that were high above the entrance of the airplane hangar. The rest of us were amazed and didn't know what to make of them. When they reached the edge of the platforms, they all pulled out AK-47 assault rifles. I looked on in amazement and said to myself, "What are these guys doing? Who are they responding to?" Then an airplane came out from the hangar, and all the soldiers opened fire on it. The pilot didn't have a chance. Such a hail of bullets came against him that his plane was quickly destroyed. The pilot could not go fast enough to escape. And I thought, "Betrayal! Betrayal!" The rest of us who are not part of this group started running in fear. The group shot down one plane after another. It was a complete slaughter. All of the pilots tried to go top speed out of the hangar, but they did not stand a chance. We were losing all of our best fighter pilots. And in real terms, one pilot in the air was more powerful than 100 ground soldiers. But none of the pilots could get airborne. Then, one pilot took a different path. Instead of trying to escape and save his own life, he turned his plane straight at the wooden platforms that the soldiers were standing on and crashed his plane right into it, sacrificing himself. This collapsed the platforms, killing many soldiers in the betraying army and breaking its unity, throwing it into confusion. They were still hostile toward us, but they were no longer in unity. And then my dream ended. This dream was a clear example of how the enemy attacks from within. A much more complete explanation of this army of the accuser was shown in the book, The Final Quest, by Rick Joyner. This war became blatantly obvious to me while I was building this website, Spirit Lessons or DivineRevelations.info. While investigating people who were given face-to-face visitations with Jesus, I saw a clear and organized effort to discredit and slander them. So much slander was leveled against these people that anyone investigating them would likely be turned away before they ever heard their testimonies. For example, a simple Google search on Rick Joyner's name returned results in which 4 of the top 5 were very negative, with 3 being blatantly accusational. For example, dangerous teacher, self-proclaimed prophet, false teacher, a man in the grips of evil deceit, the spirit of darkness and deception, most unsound and dangerous teacher, etc. By comparison, you remember Ted Kaczynski, the so-called Unabomber, who murdered many people by mail bombs. He was given more favorable internet publicity than Rick Joyner. Similar accusations have been made against many of the people shown on the Spirit Lessons Divine Revelations website. In fact, entire Christian websites have been dedicated to discrediting many of God's people. In many cases, there are more attacks coming from within the church than from secular sources. For example, many attacks have come against the Lakeland, Florida revival. These attacks claim that many of the reports of healing miracles were false and that the revival was not of God. However, I traveled to Lakeland, Florida and personally interviewed 25 people who were miraculously healed. Their healings were confirmed by multiple sources, including pastors, relatives, and friends. I also witnessed hundreds of other miracles and signs, but was unable to interview all those who were affected. This army that attacks strategic moves of God is filled with many well-intentioned Christians that have been deceived by the angel of light. They listen to the voice of the accuser, thinking it is the voice of Jesus. Many of us were at one time a part of this army and being used by the devil, but have since repented. When a Christian learns the real voice of the shepherd, they will utterly reject the voice of the accuser of the brethren. Here are some hard lessons that I have learned about accusation. If you're opposing the work or manifestation of the Holy Spirit, you are dangerously close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Don't risk it. If you don't know, then don't accuse. Those people who are not prophets and do not recognize the prophetic gift are not experts on discerning who are the false prophets. Those who do not have a healing ministry should not criticize those who do. Those who do not receive visions from the Lord and do not even believe in this gift are not the experts to determine which visions are not from God. Those who do not have angelic encounters should not claim expertise in discerning which encounters are true. Those who do not speak in tongues should not instruct others regarding the gift. Those who are not conducting revivals should not criticize those who are. Those who do not have a shepherd's heart should not pretend to be our shepherd. And those who have not had visitations from the Lord, been given tours of heaven, experienced manifestations of the Holy Spirit, or been slain in the Spirit, should not claim authority and criticize those who have experienced it. It is similar to when the Pharisees told Jesus that he should not heal on the Sabbath. They were not healing on any day. So what right did they have to tell Jesus how to heal? This army has been used against every advancement of the church. We can no longer just sit back and assume that this army is just a group of concerned Christians who disagree with us. We need to recognize the difference between when someone is simply disagreeing with us and when someone is listening to the enemy. When Peter rebuked Jesus in Matthew 16:22, Jesus didn't say, "Peter, I see you have a different point of view." No, Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus correctly identified the voice of Satan, even when it came from a close friend. Here is what we must do. We must counter falsehoods from the army of the accuser in the media and on the web. We must confront those who are listening to the enemy, like Jesus confronted Peter. We must bring to light those things they are trying to discredit and slander. We must pray that their accusations will be rejected and never spread. We must intercede for their freedom. And most of all, pray for the Lord's redemptive judgments, not man's wrathful judgments. The Lord's judgments can always be trusted because he sees all and knows the motivation of the heart. While our judgments can be misguided and wrong, the Lord's judgments are always right. So we must pray for the Lord's redemptive judgments for those who are listening to the army of the accuser. We must win this battle in the spirit, not in the flesh. Now pray hard and get to work. We must now fight for complete victory.